With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Undisputed listeners. It's Ben Verlander, host of Fox Sports' new baseball podcast, Flippin' Bats. Before today's episode, I wanted to share a sneak peek at the latest episode of Flippin' Bats, recorded live from Coors Field in Denver for the MLB All-Star Week. This clip showcases my journey to meet the first two-way All-Star in the history of the game, Angels pitcher and hitter Shohei Ohtani. What's up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Flippin' Bats with your host, Ben Verlander. We are live here from Coors Field in Denver. The Home Run Derby just finished up. We have an incredible episode for you guys. Today was media day here in Denver. We talked to a bunch of players, got a bunch of great content there. Also, I am going to walk you guys through the quest to meet Shohei Ohtani and how it all went down. All right, it is Sunday. We have entered Coors Field for the first time today as the Futures game. I know Ohtani's not here yet. We're just getting the lay of the land, just figuring out our plan of attack. We are here, and we are live from Coors Field. Let's go. Hi guys, we're out here on the field, Futures Day. American League team is stretching behind me. Ohtani has not yet showed up, but he will. He's out there somewhere. So I'm on this quest to meet Shohei Ohtani. Yeah. Give me one tip or pointer, like what's something he's interested in that can get me in there, in on his good side?
Clash of Clans. If you know anything about pick his brain on Clash of Clans. There you go.
I'm looking for Ohtani. It is time. It's going to happen. I think that's where we get him. I think we get him right there. I just met Ohtani. My heart is pounding. I've met a million people in my life. None as cool as that. He's Babe Ruth. He's better than Babe Ruth. I can go home. To hear more, subscribe to Flippin' Bats on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. New episodes come out every Tuesday featuring candid one-on-one interviews with players from your favorite MLB teams, as well as talk about the current state of baseball. Now, back to Undisputed.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Well, we're going to get to the Cowboys in just a second, but first, Shohei Ohtani will be the showman of the MLB All-Star Game. The Angels sensation will be starting on the mound and will bat leadoff for the American League squad as they battle the National League at 7 p.m. Eastern tonight on Fox. Shannon, is he going to revolutionize baseball?
I believe he's the anomaly, Skip. I think the thing is, Skip, the team will force you to choose. Either you're going to be a pitcher, you got 100-mile-an-hour fastball you're going to pitch, you're not going to be hitting. Yeah. Unless there's a extenuating circumstance and you run out of position players and you have to come to the bat, you know, come to the plate and hit. Mm-hmm. And if you great at hitting and batting and can throw position, you're going to have to, you're probably going to have to choose. But I think he was a very unique situation. And I think him being a foreign player, he said, the only way I'm coming is that you allow me to do both. And so they were caught between a rock and a hard place because somebody, if the Angels didn't do it, someone else was going to allow him to do it. And he's shown because, you know, you pitch every fifth day and he's a DH, so you're playing basically every day. You know, how much would that zap him? And so, but I don't think you're going to see all of a sudden these guys popping up wanting to be Shohei Ohtani. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. Skip, the mere fact is like he's a modern day. The mere fact that we're mentioning him and Babe Ruth tells you just how special this young man is.
Mm-hmm.
He has power.
Freakish.
That we haven't seen in a long time. You're talking about for a Japanese-born player, he's already the single-season leader, and we're at the midway point.
Yep.
He broke Hideki Matsui's record. Mm-hmm. I think Hideki had 31, 32, mm-hmm. and he's already at 33.
Yep.
So, but, Skip, I think this is an anomaly. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to see an uprising, an upspring of guys saying, you know what, I want to bat and I want to pitch in the major leagues. I don't believe that's going to happen.
Okay. I believe it should not be an anomaly. Did you play high school baseball?
I did not.
I can't remember. Okay, so I did. I was pretty good. I made all area after my senior year. But what I always saw in my years in high school baseball was the pitchers we faced were often the best hitters that we had to get out.
That's true.
Because they were the best athlete on the field.
Yes.
They chose to throw because they had the best arm, but they also had, and many times, mm-hmm. the most power.
Yes.
So that's not an anomaly.
Right.
And then when I went to Vanderbilt, we won the SEC all 4 years I was there. But our arch rival was University of Tennessee, and the best hitter in the SEC those 4 years mm-hmm. was a kid named Rick Honeycutt, mm-hmm. who was also one of the best pitchers.
Yeah.
So he goes on to the big leagues and makes two All-Star teams and is the ERA champ in 1983 because
right.
he could really pitch. He
A's, right?
A's and Dodgers mm-hmm. and Rangers for mm-hmm. a year, mm-hmm. but he became the Dodgers pitching coach for many years up through 2019. But
right.
my point is, he could have done this.
Right.
He wasn't what you call a power hitter, but
right.
man, he could hit for average.
Right.
He was the SEC batting champ mm-hmm. my senior year.
Right.
So my point is, when you get to the big leagues, our thinking is so prehistoric.
It
they
is.
Just say you have to choose.
Right, right.
But in Japan, at 18, he decided to play pro baseball in Japan
right.
for a few years.
Right.
And right away, they're more open-minded. And they're like,
okay,
we don't have these conventional wisdom
right.
that, you know, that we've dug in on.
Right.
And they said, sure. Because he's almost 6'4", and he has natural gifted power,
yeah.
and he can throw it 100 miles an
right.
hour. Why not?
Yes.
But in MLB, they think, no, you're going to shortchange yourself one way or the other.
Correct.
And look at what happened to Babe Ruth. He was great for the Boston Red Sox, and then when he got traded to the Yankees, they're like, you got to stop this.
Right.
Well, 1 year he was the best pitcher in baseball.
Right.
And then he became the best hitter of all time up through that point, right?
right?
Because
yes.
the Yankees said, no, our box office says we need you to hit the ball out of the park.
Correct.
Which is what he did. I'm just hoping the floodgates reopen for a lot of kids out there who at the high school level are dominating as hitters and pitchers, and I don't know why they can't keep on keeping
on. Well, Skip, if you think about it, think about football.
Yeah.
The best athletes used to play offense
they
and defense.
Both. Agreed.
They were a quarterback or they were a DB or they were something, and then when they got to college, they said, nah, you playing one or the other, choose one.
There
offense or defense. Deion could have played both.
Absolutely.
But it's like, you know what, Deion, we really need you on the other side of the ball. Now, we'll give you a few reverses, throw you a few passes, but I think that's going to be the case. You look at Tampa, Skip, they don't even let the pitcher go, past 7 innings.
Yeah.
And a lot of, it used to be pitchers threw 150, 160 pitches.
Everybody's now, a specialist. I agree.
Right. Yep. You got guys coming from the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, and then you got a closer. Garrett Cole threw 129 pitches, a complete game. That used to be commonplace.
Yep. Okay. So, can't wait until tonight because I get to watch this young man pitch and lead off.
That's all I want. Kevin, I ain't gonna lie. I'll probably just watch him do that.
<That's>
I want to see him pitch, get out of the inning, then hit. Hope he hits it over the fence.
Thing.
I was really rooting for him last night. I wanted him to win.
He was just trying too hard.
But Pete Alonso, good God.
Wow.
Lord,
it was great to watch. So tonight, All-Star Game, 7 p.m. Eastern on Fox. And when you watch Shohei Ohtani, he's just playing with this joy. It's like you can't look away because he's making it look easy. We know it's not. 33 home runs. I just can't get enough of him. I cannot get enough of what he's doing, and I cannot wait to see it on display on Fox tonight. We're going to get to the Cowboys now. We're going to see them plenty on Fox this season as well. But heading into his second year with the Cowboys, Mike McCarthy will be eager to put a 6-10 season in his rearview mirror. He'll have Dak Prescott back under center, which will take some added pressure away as they'll appear on Hard Knocks. This will be Dallas's third appearance on the hit show. Remember that. Former Cowboys coach Dave Campo thinks the show is invasive, though, and an unnecessary hurdle for McCarthy as he looks to right the ship. Shannon, do you agree with Campo here?
No. It's just another excuse for why they're not going to be good. That has nothing to do with it, Skip. It's not going to... It's hard for me to imagine that because there are cameras there every day. Well, you film everything anyway, but all of a sudden it affects your blocking, your tackling, your throwing, your catching. That's not going to have anything. The Hard Knocks is not going to be the reason the Cowboys finish 8-9 or 9-8. That won't be the reason. And don't make excuses. I understand that. But you have to understand, Skip, Jerry has always put this in front of winning. Jerry has always wanted more commas than Lombardi trophies. I got no problem with it. I just see it for what it is. Mm. So I'm not here to make no excuses. Talk about, well, if this doesn't happen, it's because of Hard Knocks. No. Skip, 10 of the past 12 Hard Knocks teams that improved, they either improved or equaled the win total from the previous year. Six teams made the playoffs. We did it in 01, the Bengals in 9-13, the Jets in 2010, 2015 Texans, and the 2020 Rams. So it can be done. They made the playoffs. Being on Hard Knocks. Who knew? These teams, it wasn't a distraction. Think about that. Even the Bengals made the playoffs in 29 and 2013. So if they could make it, I don't want to hear nothing the Cowboys got to say about Hard Knocks may or may not inhibit their ability to perform well. Nah, it's going to be because you are what I think you are, which is not very good.
Okay. I got to know Dave Campo pretty to very well when he was an assistant under Jimmy Johnson with the Cowboys.
Right.
And I like Dave Campo a lot, but I never in my wildest imagination dreamed of him as being the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. He became, to me, the ultimate Jerry Jones puppet. The ultimate.
Yes.
Yes, man. And he's a little guy. He played cornerback at Central Connecticut. And then you want to talk about paying dues. He coached at Bridgeport and Pitt and Washington State and Boise State and Oregon State in Weber State and Iowa State and Syracuse before he finally landed with Jimmy in Miami and followed Jimmy, obviously, to Dallas.
Correct.
And somehow he lived to tell and became the head coach.
He became the head coach of the Cowboys.
It's impossible. It's like every time I think of that, I just LOL because he was there for 3 years, three long years.
Yes.
And they went 5-11 every year, 5-11, 5-11, 5-11. So he goes.
You talk about consistency.
Yes, that's consistency. Real. He went 15-33, nailed it. And Jerry put up with it because Jerry could do the, yep. He was this
play
little
him.
Marionette down on the field.
Yep.
So I take with like a billion grains of salt what he's saying here because this is more of a small-minded view of what can happen.
Right.
Where, oh, well, he was terribly distracted by
right.
it because he was on pins and needles. Like, am I saying the right thing? Am I doing the right? Is Jerry going to be mad at this or is he going to be mad at that?
Was Hard Knocks there last year when they gave up a franchise worth 473 points?
No. Mm-mm.
Were they there last year when they gave up 6,183 points, which was the second most? Mm. Only the 1960 season, which was the inaugural season of the Cowboys, did they give up more yards. Was Hard Knocks there then?
No.
So I want to know what was the distraction then?
You mean when Mike McCarthy returned a favor to Mike Nolan, hiring him to be the defensive coordinator when he was not remotely qualified to be?
Yeah.
And that happened?
But that had nothing to do with Hard Knocks.
No, did not.
So now, because you didn't make the playoffs last year, you didn't make the playoffs the year before, there was no Hard Knocks. In the past 2 years, no Hard Knocks. Mm-mm. You didn't make the playoffs. Now, if you don't make the playoffs...
There were figurative Hard Knocks, right? Because they took some hard knocks, man.
Yes, yes. You took your lumps.
Mm-hmm.
But it had nothing to do with Hard Knocks being there.
Okay.
So don't do that, Skip.
Okay, so I'm going to double down on this. I believe that this team is made for Hard Knocks because I told you that rookie class, that they can talk big.
Yes.
And I think it will work great. That it will light up Hard Knocks, starting with your guy, Micah Parsons,
yes.
and I got all kinds of rappers and big talkers and potential Richard Shermans. I might even have the Richard Sherman before this is all said and done. He just may be a Dallas Cowboy.
But here's the thing, though. Is Hard Knocks going to highlight those guys, or are they going to focus on Jerry?
I don't know, because Jerry's going to eat up a lot of the footage. I would agree. But I also think Dak's return, Zeke's potential return to greatness, I'll put quotes around it, CeeDee Lamb's emergence. It's like big personalities. It's like every Cowboy is like a little mini theater unto himself, and he's showing his movie in his little mini theater.
Yes.
So to me, this is the kind of attention that can detonate. It can springboard the Cowboys into having a very good. I believe that Hard Knocks will be a reason this team will go 12-5.
12. You know good and well, y'all not winning no 12 games.
12-5.
You're not winning 12 games. You barely won 12 games in two seasons.
We will dominate the division.
No,
and
you will not dominate
games.
Anything. We got cases already put on that.
Yes, we do.
You're finishing third in the division. You like
third.
That?
Yep. How many cases do we have on
that? We already got about 5, 6, 7. I don't care.
Well, you will make it 10.
Whatever you want to do.
I feel real good about it.
No, we got 5 that you're not winning the division, and we got another 5 you're going to finish 3rd in the division.
Okay, good. Then I'm good to go. I love
Skip,
that breakfast.
You do realize, like, Washington and the Giants are better than you, right?
No, they're not better.
They're better than
they're
you.
They're not better.
Overall, top to bottom, they're better than you.
I will have the number one quarterback and number one offense in the division.
No, you won't.
And my defense cannot help but be better under Dan Quinn. It can't help. Has to be better.
Did you not see your offense on Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
That last time we saw him on national TV.
Okay.
That was embarrassing.
It was an Andy Dalton special.
You like Andy Dalton.
I remember
you talking about you guys.
Pretty good.
Oh, I remember you came out here. Jenny, you remember this like it was yesterday. He came out here. He did go make 5 Pro Bowls.
Well, he did. Well, you just mentioned the Bengals made the playoffs in, 2013?
2009 and 2013. Yeah.
And who was that?
Andy Dalton.
Thank you.
But so, in other words, that's my point. It wasn't no distraction. Mm. So it's not a distraction.
Yeah, but when the defense is historically bad, even Andy Dalton can't overcome that.
Your team, your players were historically bad.
Mm.
I told you, you signed all those big names, you were geeked too. You were happy. We got this guy. He did go to a Pro Bowl. We got that. He did go to a Pro Bowl. He did do this.
And by midseason, they were all gone.
All gone.
Wiped out.
That was
house cleaned.
Many, many years ago,
they
were in the Pro Bowl.
I got this.
No, you don't.
And I can't wait for Hard Knocks because we will be talking about it every Wednesday for how many? Is it 4 weeks in a row?
Yep.
Yeah.
But you're going to be upset. They talk about, I can't believe that that Mike McCarthy did this. I can't believe Dan Quinn did that. Mm. And you're going to be upset. And then Jerry, I can't believe Jerry would say that. Why would you? And he's going to be all upset again. Mm. And you're going to be out.
12-5. I'm good.
You're good?
Good to go. Yep.
I 12-5. Agree. You might be more upset than happy watching Hard Knocks. Sometimes you don't want to know some of this stuff, but
you
okay.
You don't go well then I go to 12-5.
We will all be watching.
No mercy.
Well, before winning a gold medal, Team USA needs to show they can win a game first. The Kevin Durant-led American squad suffered their second straight setback yesterday as they lost to Australia 91-83. Patty Mills led the way for the Aussies with 22 points. And the Americans had their chances late, but a late air ball and turnover ultimately did them in. The only good news is it's only a pre-Olympics exhibition game right now. We still got about 2 weeks before game start for Team USA at the Olympics. Fox Sports. NBA analyst Chris Broussard joins us now. Chris, scale of 1 to 10, and be honest here, how concerned should we be?
I'm waffling between a 9 and a 10.
Whew.
All right? And that's not to say that Team USA can't win the gold. You know, they got Kevin Durant, Damian Lillard, Bradley Beal, Jason Tatum. They may just win it on those guys' talent alone. That said, they should be very concerned because we all know they wanted to come out and make a statement against Australia. They had just lost to Nigeria, a team that a few years ago they beat by 80-something points, and they wanted to come out and make a statement, and instead, they lost for the 4th time in their last 5 international games. That dates back to 2019 when we lost in the World Games. We finished 7th. In the World Games. Now, we didn't have KD and Dame Lillard, but Jason Tatum and several other, Kemba Walker and other NBA players were there, and we finished 7th. So this is a concern. I think there's a few issues. One, this roster is poorly constructed. There's not a rim protector or shot blocker on the roster. And you saw that last night when Australia just had its way in the paint. Cuts, dives, backdoor cuts. They were at the rim all night. They scored 44 points in the paint. Remember, it's just a 40-minute game. All right, and then look at the roster. The only player on the team who naturally makes plays for others is Draymond Green. Other Damian Lillard, Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum, the other stars are all score-first guys. They can pass, but Draymond's the only one with that real instinct to get others involved and share the basketball. So the roster's poorly constructed. We keep hearing about the continuity and the chemistry, right? Oh, these other teams have been playing together since they were 14, 15 years old. They got a huge advantage. I won't totally eliminate that possibility because I think it is a factor. But it's a factor that's often overstated. And here's why. Look at Nigeria. shoot, a lot of their dudes grew up in America. Ekpe Udo is from Oklahoma. Gabe Vincent is from California. Precious Akua is from New York City. A lot of these dudes are from America. They haven't been playing together since they were kids. Australia, okay, to some degree, but they also have seven new players, and they've had two or three different coaches in the last 3 years. What it boils down largely to is this. I think this is an indictment on the way our American players grow up playing from AAU all the way into the NBA. And that is, and I've talked to people around the league about this and former players from, you know, a generation ago. Our players grow up playing two-man or one-man basketball. High pick and roll or drive and kick. That's it. Our best players don't know how to move without the basketball. They don't set screens away from the ball. They don't do backdoor cuts for the most part. And if you look at that, though, that tape we showed before I came on and Jen was speaking and you saw the highlights. Every single one of them, it was just dudes standing around the three-point line. Look at this. Is there any movement?
No.
No movement without the ball whatsoever. And so our default in a tough game is to go one-on-one.
Yep.
Or maybe give me a pick and I'll go one, you know. Whereas Australia, when they come together, it's going to be true for a lot of the European countries, when they come together, they grow up playing five-man team basketball. So last night, we weren't in the same stratosphere as far as execution as Australia. They had guys naturally backdoor cutting, moving without the ball, and they picked us apart. And generally speaking, a talented group that plays five-man ball is often going to beat a more talented group that plays a lot of one-on-one or two-man basketball. Doesn't happen all the time, but often that's the case. So that's the challenge we're going to be facing in this international play.
Well, I told Skip the same thing. I gave him an 8. I'm very concerned because I don't believe the team was put together correctly. Because you look at it, this says we want shooting. Well, you got no rim protecting. You got no rebounding. You got out-rebounded by 10 or 12 by Nigeria. You got out-rebounded last night by 7 by Australia. And you're talking about you want to focus on shooting, but you're getting outshot. And see, I think the thing is, Skip and Chris, is that you look at it, you look at these teams, they don't have one player that's better than Kevin Durant. They don't have one player that's a Dame Lillard. And in America, we grow up, if you're the best player, they don't play a whole lot of team ball. We're going to give you the ball. We're going to set picks for you. We're going to get out of your way. Well, that's not how they play. They got to play team basketball. They got to move the ball because they don't have a Kevin Durant. They don't have a Dame Lillard. They don't have a top five player normally. Now, if Luka's a different animal. Giannis, if he plays for the Greek, I don't think Giannis is playing with the Greek team, but that's a different animal. But for the most part, they have to play this style of ball because they don't have one guy that can just take the game over. And when you look at it, they got no perimeter wing. They got no perimeter defenders. We've always had, you go back to 92, you had David Robinson, you had Patrick Ewing. You've had Shaq, you've had Olajuwon, you've had Dwight Howard, you've had Tyson Chandler. You've always had guys that can protect the rim, but you've also had guys that were unselfish and said, you know what, I can score. Yeah, I can score. But everybody can't go get 25 in an Olympic game. Okay, I'm going to D up. Scotty and Mike says, okay, we play D. Kobe says, I'll play D. D-Way says, I'll lock in. LeBron says, I ain't giving up nothing cheap. Right now, we got a bunch of guys that just want to score. Nobody wants to play defense. They got that score in the paint, Skip. 44-24 last night, Australia. Australia, I thought they're perimeter guys. Oh, they got Joe Ingles are not trying to get grimy. Patty Mills not trying to get grimy. None of these guys are like low post players. And they guys outscored the American team by 20 in the paint. If they had Giannis, if they had Jokic, I'd say, okay, you
remember,
got
it. That's a lot of backdoor cuts for layups.
That's my point.
Okay.
And when you got guys that don't play defense and not used to being like that, Skip, they looking around and, whoop, lay the ball up in the basket. We're going to talk about Coach Pop getting upset. But, Skip, I'm concerned because these teams are no longer in awe. Skip, ain't nobody trying to get the Michael Jordan jersey. Ain't nobody trying to get no autographs and get picture taken with Charles Barkley and the Dream Team. They trying to kick your butt. And so, yeah, guess what? And they see you in the game. Man, we beat y'all butt. Y'all remember we beat y'all butt in the Olympics? Where your gold medal at? Because that's what I'd be doing if I played on a foreign team and we beat the Americans and we got the gold. Oh, Chris, you couldn't tell me. You couldn't hit me in the butt with a red apple. Hey, where your medal at? Let me see it.
So, my friend Chris Broussard says the sky is falling on Team USA. And my friend across the table says the sky is falling.
I say it's raining.
Oh, it's raining.
It ain't falling. It's raining, though.
Okay.
It's raining.
And I say the sky is blue, as in red, white, and still blue.
Okay.
My concern level is at a 2, TWO 2, near the bottom of the scale, because my team, Team USA, still has Kevin Bleepin' Durant.
He's the last two games.
Best player on the planet. Obviously, he is coming out of what was an accelerated, escalated NBA season unlike any we have ever seen. And he had to play 1-on-5 against the Milwaukee Bucks.
Stop.
And it went to the bitter end. And if his toe hadn't been 1/10 of an inch over the line, he'd still be playing in the finals and probably dominating the finals.
Probably not.
Okay, but the point is, they haven't geared back up just yet. And it is a new team that got thrown together, and Australia is a tough matchup for them this early in the exhibition run-up to the real games. Because, and by the way, Australia doesn't even have Ben Simmons right now. We're going to talk about Ben Simmons in a few minutes here because Shams is reporting that that trade is heating up onto the front burner in Philadelphia and that there is robust interest out there for Ben Simmons. We'll talk about that.
Yep.
But he wasn't even on this team.
Right.
And it still has 6 NBA players. And they have played a lot of international basketball together because a lot of them, Deli and Patty and Aaron Baines and Ingles, they came up together.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can just step on the floor and click because they get each other. They feel each other, and they do play a different brand of basketball. And that, from what I saw, that Jock Landale, he went to St. Mary's. He's 6'11", and he was the player of the year in the WCC when he was at St. Mary's. Yeah. And then he was just the MVP of their finals at the Australian League. So he can play, and he was dominant. He had 7 rebounds last night, which led both teams. So I get you about rim protection, but Kevin Durant can protect the rim when he decides to. Bam can definitely protect the rim when he decides to, when he needs to. When push comes to literal shove in the Olympic Games, I believe they can protect the rim well enough because they can shoot the lights out. They haven't yet, although I thought Kevin and Dame, if you can go 10 or 20 between you, shouldn't that be good enough to win a game? You would think so.
Yeah, not when the others go 3 or 16 between them.
That's the problem. And again, I just don't think they've committed yet because to me, rebounding is mostly about want to.
Right.
It's just, do you want it? Do you want the ball worse than they want the ball? And last night, Joe Ingles said after the game, we walked in tonight thinking we would win this game. Well, it meant a lot more
to
them.
Well, I wish he'd have walked into the Clippers game thinking they were going to win that game.
Because you lost a bunch of cases.
Yeah, you hear how he's talking all big and bad. Now, Chris, talking about we walked in. But also, I think, Chris, before you go, is that if you look at the way they play international ball, they physical. They play like 80s and 90s style. They don't let you do that flopping. I see the Americans looking around, like, man, that's a foul. And the referee like, you better play on. You better get back on defense because they gone. We ain't calling the foul.
Okay. Got it. They'll figure this out. Go ahead, Chris. Yeah,
don't you think you said it meant more to Australia than us?
Last night.
You don't think Team USA, after being embarrassed by Nigeria, was like, oh, look, let's come back and set the world in order.
Yes.
Let's show everybody that that was just some fluke, and they couldn't do it.
Couldn't.
Okay, Chris, what if they weren't really embarrassed by Nigeria? What happened?
Well, that's even more of a problem.
They had then shame on them.
Yes.
How could they not be?
Did that count toward gold? No.
I mean, Byron Scott called it the worst upset in the history of basketball.
Okay.
I mean, that was embarrassing. They should be embarrassed. I'm not saying they can't win it. Like I said, they got all the talent. You know, they got Kevin Durant. But, Skip, let's not act like just having Kevin Durant means you're going to win.
Mm. So are you two both insinuating that if LeBron James were part of this team, this wouldn't be happening?
Nah, if we had LeBron and Kawhi, if we had Kawhi to lock down on the edge, you know, Kawhi locked the thing down on the edge.
Yeah.
Let me tell you how concerned Greg Popovich was.
Mm.
Hootie was one of the speakers that he brought in. One Doug Collins, who was on that 72 team that lost to the Soviets, that they refused to accept the medals. So if it didn't mean anything to him, why are you bringing in a guy that's lost? Why would you bring him in to speak if you're not concerned about losing? Mm. If you think everything peachy cream, because I could bet, I can assure you, Chuck Daly ain't bring no speakers in, did he? I'm just saying.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, Shannon, because I was thinking after they lost to Nigeria, and a lot of people were making the comparison to the Dream Team, right? When they lost to the college kids, oh, it was good for them, and then they blew them out the rest of the week when they scrimmaged. I thought that's what this was.
Yes.
But apparently it wasn't. Mm. You know? And so we just, look, you saw them. We need to play more team-oriented basketball. But you mentioned it, Shannon. We got a lot of stars on that team. Who wants to do the dirty work? Draymond. Even Jeremy Grant, that should be his role. Do the dirty work. But he was in Detroit last year throwing up 22 a game. So like he kind of like, yo, I can do my thing too now. So I don't know if he still wants to do
Chris,
the dirty work.
Bottom line, are you ready to guarantee that Team USA does not win gold?
No.
Thank you.
No.
Next question.
I can't write them off.
Right.
But I'm not willing to guarantee they will. I bet. Are you willing to guarantee that they will?
Yes, I'm willing to bet. Shannon, five cases already betting, but he won't take it.
No, I ain't betting.
He's afraid.
I'm not betting against the Americans.
You can't bet against Team USA. I understand that. I respect that. Maybe you can get Chris to join in on this in the fun.
No mercy.